This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, we're talking gold, Bitcoin, and NFTs today. So buckle up because they're all on the move. I'm Andy Gersher, and this is Gains. So as mentioned, we're talking gold, Bitcoin, and NFTs today. So let's bring on Eric Mashinsky, founder and editor of goldinvestmentletter.com and phenomcrypto.com. And Eric's based in Miami. Well, Eric, great to have you on the Gains podcast, and I want to get right to it. Gold has been running. This time a year ago, gold was about $2,000 an ounce. I checked the price right before I came in the studio, and I see it's well over $2,400 an ounce. And it looks like it might just be getting started. So, Eric, where do you see gold prices heading?
My guess is that $2,700 to $3,200 range. Just based on work that I've done, I think that that's a fair range. Gold, when it does break out to new highs, it tends to go pretty quick, as you know, right? That's my guess for a range, and I think it's very reasonable.
You know, there's many different ways of getting exposure to gold. A million years ago, I was in the industry. I was actually in physical gold bullion, and we traded gold bars and silver bars and coins, and that's kind of a, you know, that's one way. You know, not a bad idea for somebody to actually have a little physical wealth. But when you're investing in gold, looking beyond the bullion and the actual physical bars and coins, there's plenty of opportunities to get access to gold investments via an ETF. And then there's also miners, which can actually give you a lot more bang for your buck. So when we're talking about gold and getting exposure to it, let's just look beyond the, you know, the gold coins and bars. What kind of vehicles are you using to get exposure right now?
It's good to zero in on that right now, I think, Andy, too, because what we're seeing, I'm seeing a dichotomy where gold has risen, but a lot of the companies, so on the gold mining side, you basically have three categories. One is the big producers, the blue chips. That would be your least risk. You could buy a basket, GDX, GDXJ, or the ETFs of the mining companies, but they're usually the largest mining companies, just like an S&P 500 index.
And give us a couple tickers and players in that space for each one of these categories. So you're talking GDX. What are some of the big miners? These are kind of the safest of the safe of the gold miners.
Definitely not my specialty. I like to swing the bat, but you would be dealing with Newmont Mining, NEM. That's one that is a top three miner. Barrick Gold, ABX, I believe, is the symbol. Agnico Eagle, AEM. Those three come to mind in terms of very large producing listed NYSE companies with multi-billion dollar market caps.
The big blue chip gold companies. All right, so next down the list. And as we move down the list, it becomes a little more speculative. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And GDXJ is what's considered the junior miner gold index. GDX would be just with the bigger producers. Now, GDXJ, I kind of have a little bit of a point where, you know, it's actually not going down that far into the exploration companies because you have to have $1 billion minimum market cap. So I don't know that it's an exact fair representation, but a lot of those are development stage companies like IAUX. They have, you know, very large gold resources in Nevada with three different potential mines, but they're not producing yet, for example. But it's got a $600 million market cap. That's usually where I start and then go down from there into the very small junior exploration companies, which, you know, they can get very tiny. And the thing that's interesting to me is that a lot of those from I-80 on down into the, you know, tiny, tiny ones, they have not really moved off their bottoms yet. And that's incredible in terms of people that want to be aggressive and savvy and look into this at this point, in my opinion, because they're not expensive.
And Eric's talking about the potential of a 10, 20 bagger. I mean, there's a lot more risk, but when these move, just from watching this space for a long time, they move fast, and especially, as you're mentioning, could give us a couple of ideas more down the line, more of these speculative plays.
I'll keep it in the middle, and then if you'd like, I can give a couple of really smaller ones, but just to be appropriate, the I-80 is one that I like and own a lot. That's IAUX. Trading at about $1.25, $1.30, somewhere like that, $600 million market cap. You know, they've got well over $100 million in cash, things of that nature. So they're not going away, but they're not going to go up like a penny stock, 20, 50X potentially, or probably go bust. Then you've got Equinox Gold is a favorite of mine, but they're in the 1.5 to 2 billion market cap, and they are a producer run by a legend, Ross Beaty, who's a guy that has had tons of successful building of companies and exits, and they just acquired the rest of their most prolific producing the ownership from Orion, which is the largest financier in the gold space. And so that's EQX, which is still trading in the 5.5 range U.S.
And Eric, one thing I want to really put also let the Gains listeners know, this is where goldinvestmentletter.com probably starts to step in, because as you get more speculative, you got to know a lot more about the companies, the projects they're working on. And I guess that's when goldinvestmentletter.com would come into play. You know, we were talking about, you know, the big ones, and they're, you know, heavily covered. But that's where your newsletter and your website, goldinvestmentletter.com, comes into place. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, appreciate it, because that is where I go. I go in the mid area down to the ghetto. That's what I call it, because, you know, special situations, things of that nature, I'm the one who vets these ideas and puts the updates out and everything else to folks. I have my buy up to prices and general sort of philosophies and targets on how to take profits in the very risky stuff so that you're not chasing these things. I talk a lot about investor psychology in there to avoid some of those mistakes. Also, silver, you know, I'll throw in one name that's a listed company that I think it's more in the mid area, you know, $500-600 million market cap, called Silvercorp, SVM. That one, you know, still $4 a share, over $100 million in cash. They're a producer of silver, good cost basis. Silver is going to tend to be levered on the downside and the upside in terms of mimicking what gold does.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, because from watching metals for a very long time, silver has been even a big lagger to gold. It has, you know, even when gold was making its move, silver wasn't moving to it. I mean, let's just put it in perspective. You have gold at these highs here. Silver's nowhere close to their all-timers, and you could speak to that, Eric.
You're right. It's been a big underperformer, and that's where I've been focusing on scooping up cheap, what I think are cheap, either ounces in the ground and or, you know, attractively priced mining stocks. The problem with the physical, which I agree with you, everybody should have some physical gold. You know, that's like your... Yeah, that to me is the safest place for my money in the world, but you're not going to get, you know, juice there. Physical silver is pretty heavy. You know, you get 500 ounces, which is like 15 grand worth. It's going to, it's 42 pounds.
Hey, I've chucked 100 ounce angle hard bars around like it's my job. And let me tell you, it's really, when you think about the amount of weight compared to the value, it's very clunky and there's a lot of cost of storing it. So, you know, like, yeah, it's important, maybe, you know, a couple Krugerrands or some silver bars and that kind of stuff for, you know, that you actually physically own. But when you're trying to make money at this, and Eric, you've just spoke to it, it is these gold mining stocks and getting exposure to silver. Give us one other, since we're talking gold miners and silver, I love that you brought that in. Give us one other juicy pick that we would find out of that goldinvestmentletter.com list.
I really like, there's one that's it's a development stage company. What I mean by that, besides being exploration, where you're still looking to hit, you know, an ore body. These guys have already had ore bodies that have been expanding to the point where next stages, these things all go in stages of, you know, making sure that a third party says that you have what you say that you have, expanding it into what's going to be a preliminary economic assessment and a PFS pre-feasibility, blah, blah, blah. But the Silver Storm, SVRSF, I believe, is the symbol in the U.S. It's a primarily Canadian listed play. This one's in the 60, 70 million market cap area, so the smallest one. And they are not in production yet, but they have about $3.5 billion in the ground in silver in Mexico. And so from in the ounce, which is one of the metrics we look for, you know, in the ground, you're paying a dramatic discount, you know, to what silver is trading at. And I think you're right in the sense that because of the it's a question of, you know, where do you think this is going? But silver does typically always, you know, sooner or later, it follows the gold trend. So I think that silver is going to be playing giddy up. And like you said, it's, you know, 30 and change. We already had a high of silver at 50. Gold's already 20% above its all-time high. I think silver is going to have some really fierce moves on the upside. And there's just not as many gold or silver stocks to invest in as gold stocks. So the money flow, you don't need much, and they can go wild.
The other thing is, and I want to get back to the vehicles you use just trading the metals. I use for gold, GLD. And then for silver, SLV, you know, these are ETFs, exchange traded funds in each of those categories. Is that how you trade, you know, the metal at large as well? Do you use those ETFs and vehicles?
Yes, I think it's fair enough. Those are the two biggest, right? And, you know, they're the most liquid. I tend to, if I'm going to trade the metal, I play with options to get leverage to those. Otherwise, I've got my physical gold that I just, you know, sock away. But yes, I think those two are fair enough because, you know, they're the biggest, they're the most liquid.
I want to remind folks too that, you know, we're talking about those highs that were put in years and years ago, but gold in the 2000 range, silver in the $50 range. This is the early 80s. Okay, if you take those prices and properly adjust them for inflation, we're nowhere near the all-time highs. And I think that also shows you the potential where things are going. You adjust silver for inflation and play off that all-time high back in the early 80s, I'm looking at $250 an ounce, $250 an ounce. You do the same thing for gold, you make a case for $10,000 an ounce. Wanted to get your take on that. There's a good chance we're just getting started here.
I mean, I believe in my gut that's true. I'm trying to be a little bit conservative with people that just do a bite at a time, you know, get people in, get exposed. But yeah, the ultimate, I don't see any value in it, whether you look at the equities or the metals themselves, but especially the equities, in any sector in the entire stock market. These things have been pummeled for 3.5 years. Before that, you know, the other time that silver touched near 50 was in 11, when all the commodities and the metal stocks peaked and then went on a 4+ year brutal bear market, wiping everybody out. We've had some spikes of life since then. But these things are overdue. You're right. There's the nominal, you know, returns, and there's the real returns. But when you look at it in real dollars and value compared to 80, you're probably right in the ballpark there. Over $200 an ounce is, it's not out of the woods. You know, these type of things can happen, will happen. And I don't have exactly a target for silver, but it's way higher than here. And it's way higher than the previous, you know, highs of $50. $100 should be pretty easy. I think with what you're talking about, you know, it's been a long time that it's been consolidating since 1980, right?
So clearly we're seeing some opportunities with precious metals. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Eric. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I've been told that's podcast gold. Get the reference there. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesday mornings, and we'll be right back after the break.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
All right, we're back with Eric Mashinsky, founder and editor of goldinvestmentletter.com and phenomcrypto.com, and he's based in Miami, Florida. Well, Eric, we're talking about the opportunities in gold and precious metals. Let's shift to digital gold. And I'm thinking Bitcoin. And on this podcast, that's the other bold prediction we made at the bottom on December 7th, 2022, when Bitcoin was just under 18,000, we did the $1 million Bitcoin forecast. Now, we still have a long way to go, but it has climbed healthy since we made that call right at the bottom. Like I said, December 7th, 2022. You know, the other part of your business, phenomcrypto.com, you're active in the space. Your thoughts on digital gold, or as we like to call it, Bitcoin?
So we may need to go through one more expunging cycle to get to seven figures, possibly. You know, I don't know that it's going to happen in this 4-year, but I agree. I mean, the reality is in 2016 in May was the first time I recommended in the gold investment letter to buy Bitcoin under $500. And along the way, as it matured, not at that time, that was still, you know, you kind of put funny money in the beginning because you don't know what the hell it is exactly. But I got very serious during the bear market of 18 and 19. And I've said what I say aligns with what you're saying. Bitcoin's either going into the millions or it's going to zero. There is no in-between, you know, and now we have this network effect. It's like adopting the internet in 1998. You know, the growth is twice as high with crypto wallets and Bitcoin wallets than we were for email addresses and search traffic in the late 90s. So, you know, there, and this is like, I always call Bitcoin a global low float penny stock that has to do with everybody in the world. It's relevant to, you know, and there's just not a lot of supply out there. Now we have the ETFs, the institutions. I think a million is extremely reasonable if it's going to end up working. It's probably going well into the millions. And I think this cycle in particular is potentially the last one where you get the 10x plus off the bottom.
Agreed. Agreed on that. Yes. Those days of the 10, 20, 30 baggers in a relatively short amount of time, yeah, they're going to be pretty much over just because the price is going to be heading much higher. Yeah. I mean, and
the big boys are there, and they're not going to probably have the drawdowns of 80-90% probably in the future.
No.
Quite as much. It's just, it's getting institutionally adopted. It's, you know, that's where this thing, you know, you could argue all you want about gold, digital gold. Look, it's not going to be, to me, a true store of value until Bitcoin is in the millions and it's not trading so volatilely and it's much more widely accepted like gold. So there's a lot of room from here to there.
As far as trading crypto, here's my play right now, Eric. I've said this from making that bold prediction back in 2022, end of 2022. My play has been dollar cost average into Bitcoin and Ethereum. And then if you want to play with the other stuff, I mean, I played with SHIB and Doge and Cardano. I mean, there's all kinds of other Altron altcoins that we've played with. But my play on the reliable call on crypto is I see Bitcoin much higher. I like the utility of Ethereum. And so dollar cost averaging into those two. And then if I want fun money or play lottery tickets, I can delve into the others. How are you playing it? And what vehicles, I have like gold and silver. I do have some wallets. I've taken some possession. But again, I use broad ETFs usually to do the big work.
Yeah, I like owning the crypto itself, unless it's something that's a special situation as a public company that might be doing something unique where you get access to like world-class venture deal flow or something like
that. So you're putting, when you're buying Bitcoin, it's always putting it in wallets and stashing it away, actually taking possession.
I leave some on Coinbase. I leave a chunk on Coinbase. Coinbase has a vault function.
Okay, of course. So you can actually, because like, and I want you, I'm glad you mentioned Coinbase because, you know, there's a difference than on some of these platforms for a long time, you know, like Robinhood, for example. I mean, you weren't actually owning Bitcoin. You were buying a marker.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's an important distinction. Go ahead, explain.
Yeah, and I told my people in the gold investment letter as they were getting converted, I'm getting them to come over. They're all like, well, what do I buy for an Ethereum or Bitcoin miner? You know, and I'm like, you're lazy. Go open a freaking new account and get the crypto. The point is, at the end of the day, we're probably going to be very happy about the money that we have moved out of the fiat system. You're worried about keeping it in there or taking it back. That's not a big deal. You want to own and get used to using and utilizing crypto and or just, you know, owning it in the actual crypto. So you don't have the third party risk. Even Coinbase, what happens every time that Bitcoin runs? It crashes because it can't handle the volume. I'm not worried about their security as much. But then you've got all these hacks. You don't know what an exchange is doing. I use some of these risky exchanges to buy the smaller tokens. And who knows what the hell is going on there? You know, I'm taking the risk so I can get access to the ones I ended up making.
So you're talking about going in and doing swaps and just so you can get, you know, certain crypto. I mean, for a lot of people who are new to this, they have swap exchanges where you'll, you know, use Ethereum as fuel. And so,
yeah,
I mean, and there's a specialty. And see, this goes back to, you know, getting exposure via an ETF or trading it on a platform like Robinhood. When you start delving in beyond Bitcoin or actually taking possession, that's when PhenomCrypto.com, because that brings that extra layer of sophistication.
But to your point, what I tell my friends, any of the subscribers, they all want to come on there and get completely rich. You know, the last cycle, I was very vocal. I also was pounding the table on the bottom in late 22 and January 23. I have a bunch of videos on YouTube saying 16.7, it's over. The bottom's in. You know, that's when people don't really like to act, though, right? You know, they do it when
I couldn't
running,
understand but. It. You know, it's funny. And it's interesting you mention that, because as Bitcoin and all of crypto was having its run, right close to the top, I got a million calls from people who I had never even talked to about crypto before, who wanted to get in. Okay, Eric, at the bottom, I mean, you go back on the Gains podcast, the Gains listeners know, we called it. I begged everybody and my brother to just get in on this, and virtually no interest. You know what? I'm starting to get calls from those people now. But as we wrap up the crypto side of our discussion here, is there any other tokens or projects that we should take a look at?
I'll give you a few that I own that are my biggest positions outside of Bitcoin and Ethereum that don't get too small. These are all top 50 tokens that I still think there's a tremendous amount of value. And then that would be, for example, I think everybody's got to have some Chainlink. That's the number 16 token. It's had a big move in the last few days. But anything in the mid-teens there, I think you can outperform. Some of these are going to outperform Bitcoin and ETH, you know, if you start to go down the level a little bit, also have more volatility and more risk. But I really love Filecoin, F-I-L. That one's at 622. It's the number 30 token. They store right now, it's going on 1.5% of the world's entire data. And so that one is very, very interesting and heavily, heavily backed. Both of those are by big, big money. And those two, you know, when you're getting into the staying in the top, you know, 50 tokens. And I think maybe just one more to throw out there that we've loved a lot. A couple of these are actually up too much. I'm not going to focus on them. But I also think you have a ton of upside. Number 20 is Internet Computer, ICP 1332. These are all, you know, billion-dollar plus market caps. They're not like the tiny little alt tokens like Finding Doge at, you know, 17 million market cap. I have those at the Phenom Crypto Letter that we do talk about and try to isolate some of those early. But just for the general sense of the listener, these are ones that I have like large positions in. I'm not playing around. These are big positions because they're real projects and they've had a ton of traction already, and their growth and their disruptiveness are amazing.
How do you choose with so many projects? Because, you know, talking about Chainlink, you know, ticker LINK, that's one. Compound's another one that I like. Also traded in Litecoin. You know, Neo is another one. I mean, these are all different projects that we've talked about on here. Do you drill into the specific project? Is that where you're bringing your expertise to the table? Because there's so many of them. And at one point, they were all trading. I mean, I used to joke. We used to just trade. I used to trade a bunch of these and had no idea what they did because they all trade. I mean, Zcash, Neo, Dash, Uniswaps, Mana, Poly. These were all, they were all pretty much trading the same. And in fact, one of the tactics that we used to use when we would trade them is the ones that were kind of front running the most, we'd dump and then buy the laggers. So do you trade it by charts? Or are you boiling in and looking at projects?
Both. And I think the ones you just mentioned, for example, the one that I think is actually still going to be very legit going forward in this cycle is Uniswap. I own a lot of that. You know, what I looked for is last time I thought to myself and I did my digging and I put in, you know, over 15,000 hours in this stuff. And coming from a VC background with tech, I use some of those best practices, or at least I try to, in terms of framing the projects. But, you know, I think that the Uniswap is still going to be very relevant. But last cycle, I said to myself, the two leaders are going to be get a lot of exposure in DeFi and NFTs. This time, I think you're talking about AI. You're talking about there's DePIN, RWA, which is real world asset applications, and then DeSci, things for longevity and stuff like that. So I like to pick out the subsectors that I think are going to do the best and then look for unique opportunities within that. But like Litecoin is last cycle, Dash last cycle, Poly last cycle. Those are ones that I would avoid. New cycle, like I think Solana is going to give Ethereum a run for its money. And that's just because you've got such speed and low cost and adoption that one is going to be a favorite of this new cycle. But that's a blue chip play. It's, you know, number five on the list, but it, you know, that one could do very, very well. When it comes to the little tiny ones, it's hard to keep track of it all. You know, I mean, I'm a little bit of, without saying it, I mean, I'm a little bit of a crackhead when it comes to, I love these things so much and having maybe too many to manage. But I've also had really good success with some of these that have really changed my financial profile. But I think the key is you got to be shopping now, you know, in this pullback from what we just had, you know, into this cycle premium. You know, a lot of, like you said, you could throw darts at one point, right, and just make a bunch of money. But you got to keep your head on straight and know that when it gets into the mania that you're taking profits off of some of this stuff. But I really love AI. I love the decentralized science, the DePIN. These are where you're getting into the physical projects. And DeFi, you know, does have a, like Compound, for example. I still own a little bit of Compound. I think that Uniswap is probably a bit better from the blue chip standpoint, but there's some of those, you know, that have got a lot of traction already from the last cycle. And, you know, people are going to continue to use DeFi. There's a lot of growth there. The engines of what are powering those, where you get into, where are they building these apps? Solana is getting a lot of that new activity, but Ethereum's the king.
Real quick, explain why NFTs are not dead. Everybody's called it, and everybody's turned away. You know, I remember when the Bored Apes were just running, and all we talked about Hungry Wolves and Crypto Chicks and all that, and we could see the value and the utility, and once you delve into it, it's, you know, it's part of a community. But a lot of those are just a fraction of what they were before. Explain why NFTs are not dead, and what could eventually happen here.
I've been gobbling up a lot of NFTs and NFT related things just in the last couple of months. And I'm accelerating that pattern because the name of your podcast is called Gains, not Sheep or Losers. You know, you cannot follow these crowds when they're all hyped up and expect to make a bunch of money. NFTs are going nowhere. The growth in the NFT space is incredible and it's here to stay. And really, you've got a couple of different ways to play that. You can start once the hype machine comes in and take a stab at like what's going to be a hot NFT. If you have real money and you put real money into the sector, you've got the CryptoPunks, you've got the Bored Apes. Now you're talking 60, 125 grand for one of those. But they were trading in the millions, CryptoPunks, Justin Bieber and Paris Hilton buying them for the millions when we were at the top. That's going to happen again, I believe, with the bluest chips of them. But, you know, NFT, what I like to play on the NFT side, so you don't have to guess what to do, is you look at buying the better exchanges like Rarible, RARI. It's actually half off from its recent high at $6. I think it's back down to like $3 right now. Super Rare. You can't buy OpenSea, where it's the biggest exchange for this stuff, because they don't have a token. But, you know, Rarible is a good one, Super Rare. And then you also have, and it's been trading poorly, worse than the sector as well in general, but it is like a number 101 on the market cap side, 783 million. I've been buying ApeCoin because ApeCoin is all correlated to what you use for the Bored Apes.
Yes, the ticker on that, APE. That's cool. One that I've been watching as well.
This is what happens with NFTs. They're the last component in a bull cycle to get wild.
So don't you feel like you're buying the bottom here? Like, you know how we talked about buying Bitcoin late 2022 and just snatching it up and just feeling like you got a good deal? I feel right now that kind of same situation for that NFT space.
Agreed, and we are a little off of the bottom, but, you know, to me, I like to see a little bit of that validation as well. But I've been putting, you know, substantial resources behind buying individual NFTs and building my position in those quality exchanges. And, you know, ApeCoin as well, you know, it's not like a top 10 position of mine, but it's in the top 20, 25. And then the like Rarible is probably a top 15 position of mine. And then I have the individual NFTs that I like. There's an artist called X Copy that, you know, I think is kind of like next Beeple type of thing. Beeple is one where if you can get some cheap Beeples, he's like the Picasso of our generation. You know, you buy these things, you sit on them. A lot of people don't know how to do it. So you got to take the time to go through the pain in the butt to learn how to buy the NFTs on OpenSea, connect a wallet like MetaMask or somewhere else, store your NFT and just forget about it. There's also one that I think is very interesting, unstoppabledomains.com. That's where I bought, and I spent probably way too much money towards the top of the market, but I just had a lot of profits. I own like eric.bitcoin and dog.coin, you know, .x, you know, things like that. But these are decentralized domains and they're NFTs. You only pay once. There's no GoDaddy taking it every year for a hosting fee. It's one time. That's what it is. And I think those are going to heat up too, those domains.
As we wrap up today's Gains podcast, we kind of cover the whole landscape here from gold crypto to NFTs. What's the final takeaway, Eric?
Deploy capital. Right now is time to be deploying capital. It was the same thing I was saying in Q4 2022 and Q1 2023. I told people actually on my lists, it's time that I was taking even emergency cash and putting it into crypto at that time because of how low it was. I'm not saying do that right now because we've had good bumps in, you know, obviously Bitcoin, ETH and things of that nature, even gold. The gold and the mining stocks, I think you need to be deploying capital there. They're not going to stay here. On crypto, you know, we're right in that sort of like, we came off the bottom, so people think, I missed it, I'll buy it next time or whatever. But the problem is you're going to be chasing this stuff when it kicks into gear again. Right now, you've got to pull back in AI coins. You've got to pull back in stuff like the ICP, Filecoin, Rarible, all those type of things. Bitcoin's near the high, but these other ones, you can buy them on sale. The point is be deploying capital in this stuff right now, because if you don't, you're going to likely, if you're interested in the space, or if you have just like meaningless amounts of money in it, this should be an area that people have a meaningful amount allocated to. And right now is when I would encourage, and I have been encouraging my people, and with NFTs, definitely get some exposure in that space. And then my final point is, so deploy capital and then do not touch it. Just quit trying to trade it, or it goes up 100% and you're going to buy it back cheaper. You don't know what you're doing. Crypto, out trading crypto is impossible. You're going to get your head crushed.
Agreed. I think that's the one thing. And I think especially since we've seen this over a number of years, just hold on to it. Don't trade. It is tradable, and it can be tempting because you want to, you know, you double your money, you want to unload it, have dry powder, pick it up lower. But then sometimes it moves 300% and you never see it again either. So great advice.
Yeah, I do the sell a triple, at a triple, sell a third, maybe type of thing, you know, to get your risk out, especially with the mining stocks. But we're not in crypto. I'm sure you aren't as well, Andy. I mean, I'm not in this for a double. I'm in it for 10, you know, plus X, and I'm willing to be patient through cycles. And if it gets really wild on the upside where you're just like, what is going on here? Like we had in 2021, shave some positions off and go into cash, but don't try to be a genius and, you know, sell the top and buy the bottom. None of us can do that.
Big thanks to Eric Mashinsky, founder and editor of goldinvestmentletter.com. and PhenomCrypto.com, and Eric's based in Miami. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. If that's an option for you, totally appreciate the solid there. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesday mornings, and I look forward to seeing you then.
News Radio WBBM podcast, powered by Odyssey.